Good morning. It is 9:01 a.m. We are here today, June 6, 2025, in the OPA Hearing Room, Suite 907 of the DNA Building in Hagane, Guam, for the formal hearing of OPAPA 21-012 Graphics Center, Inc. versus the Guam Power Authority. Presiding over the hearing today is Public Auditor Benjamin J. F. Cruz. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Jack Hernandez and Tirza Bagana. Will Appellant Graphic Center please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, Mr. Public Auditor. I'm Joshua Walsh on behalf of the appellant here on Remand Graphic Center, Inc. With me at our table is Mr. Chris Balachino's institutional representative and Mr. Jesse Rosario. Mr. Rosario may testify later, so we're going to ask him to be excused right before we start, Josh. Thank you.
Well, Purchasing agency GPA, please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record.
Good morning. My name is Marianne Wallace Chuck. From GPA. I'm GPA's legal counsel. I'm here today with GPA's Chief Financial Officer.
Thank you. Will interested party InfoSend Inc. please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record? Ms. Wheel, are you on Zoom? You just logged
Good
on.
morning. This is Kelly Law from InfoSend. I just received notification that she's logging in.
Ms. Wheel, can you introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Roxana Wheel for InfoSend. I apologize. I was having trouble joining the Zoom. Thank you for admitting me.
Thank you. You may proceed.
Thank you, counsel. I think we'll make, I'm glad Mr. that we recognize this is on remand, please. And this is not to retry the entire case. We're going to very strictly just hone in on the remand order that says I am to investigate and expand on how, whether or not the procurement record was indeed complete, and if it wasn't, how material was this alleged exemption? Yes. And I ask both counsel to please limit the questions to the remand order. Thank you. I think we can start. Did you guys wish to do opening statements or
to go? I think we both briefed the pretrial briefs in, Your Honor. So I think only if you want us to make some, we'll proceed. But other than that, I'm happy to just proceed the witnesses.
I'm agreeable to that, sir, so.
Okay, great. Yes, I read both of the briefs and I read the motion required. I think we can just start with the witnesses and let's see what we can find.
Yes, sir.
Hopefully it's satisfied the trial court. You may proceed, Mr.
Thank you, Your Honor. The appellant would like to call Ms. Dawn Fajardo to the stand.
Stand and raise your right hand. Please state your name.
Dawn Fajardo.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Your witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, ma'am. My name is Joshua Walsh. I'm a lawyer helping the Graphic Center in these proceedings. Good morning, and I want to thank you for being here today and being here without a subpoena. Thank you for that. Just a few quick things for our record. Can you tell me what your current position is, the GPA?
I'm a buyer with the procurement division.
What was your position with GPA at the time of this particular procurement about the printing contract? I'm just going to call it the printing RFP, or if that's okay.
A buyer as well.
Okay. Were you involved in the procurement?
Yes.
What role did you have in assembling the procurement record?
The role is just to prepare the final package with management's approvals and issuing of the proposal, the RFP package.
Okay. Do you help put together a final procurement record when it gets signed off by the GPA administrator?
To include all like the administrative portions of it, which are affidavits and with or not, I'm sorry, not bond, but affidavits.
And I'm not trying to be tricky. I just want to know. So that's a yes, like you help put the record together?
Not to not the scope of work, not the scope of work.
Okay. I don't mean drafting the scope of work or anything. I just mean in terms of actually putting it together. Who does that? At GPA.
Well, the package is already prepared and submitted by the requesting division, and then that's when it just gets signed by management. That's it.
I'm going to ask you to look at the big binder I put in front of you. This whole check I'm going to represent, that's just the procurement record that exists. If you see the big binder, I think the last page number is 650 in it. It starts with one. Have you seen this before? This record before?
I'm sorry. The page one?
No, I'm sorry. It wasn't a particular page now. I'm just saying it's 650 pages.
Oh.
And I think this is the procurement record. I just want to make sure it is your understanding of the procurement record. Is this the procurement record? If it helps, I think there's a table of contents at the beginning. But
Yeah.
okay. You familiar with a bidder named Moonlight for this procurement?
I've been saying yes.
Would you agree with me that Moonlight was removed from consideration in this bid? Is that right?
They were yes.
I'm going to ask you to look at page 347 of that record. And just, I printed a copy of that page from this morning, just in case. Mr. Public Auditor, if you need the copy of that one, but
No, I
347, please. Okay. This is an email from Mr. Botha to you, is that correct?
Yes. It
And what is this email? What is the conversation going on in this email thread with you and Mr. Botha?
basically requesting his advisement on the findings of B Moonlight BP the middle
And what were those findings?
regarding the major shareholders affidavit.
What about it?
It was notarized, but however, there was no, they did not fill out the information.
So, what was the result?
It was therefore deemed disqualified.
You know why it was disqualified?
We required the affidavits to be submitted in the full form of requesting whatever information or required information is on that.
Would you agree with me that this email that appears in our record is an explanation of why Moonlight is not going to move forward for consideration in this bid? Is that a fair characterization?
Yes.
Okay. And I asked you to look at page 504 of this procurement record. 504 and a couple of pages right after that. Are you there, man? Thank you. book the binder better than I do. What is this on page 544? What am I looking at?
Amendment 1 to the RFP.
And would you agree with me that Amendment 1 on page 506, 505 or 506 includes a question matrix or answer matrix? What is being asked on 505 and 506?
I don't understand.
Do you know what? How would you describe what is at 505 and 506?
It just looks like questions that are of different sections or requirements of the RFP.
Who's supposed to answer those questions?
The interested firms or proponents.
Okay. Would you agree with me that Graphic Center submitted their answers on this amendment, First Amendment Attachment 1? Is that correct?
I'm not sure.
Okay. You want to take a few moments to... Well, how about this, just to accelerate things, and if your counsel objects, let her object. Would you disagree with me that Graphic Center submitted their answers to this? I know you're looking at Ms. Woolenchuk, but if you want to take some time to look through the record.
It's just been so long.
I got you, ma'am.
Sorry.
I mean, I'm representing to you that they did submit, but if you want to take some time to confirm my answer is correct.
Your Honor, maybe if counsel could point the witness to Graphic Center's bid response, that might speed things up.
I'd like to know if the person handling the record knows where in the record that is. Part of my presentation.
She does handle lots and lots of procurements, especially in the last few years since this procurement went out. So,
how about we go to the table of contents at the beginning? Okay. I think it's in there, but let's make sure together. Page 465. You can go to 465. Okay. So if that's from Graphic Center, would you agree with me that they are answering that attachment one that you saw on page 960? On page 505, 506 onward. I mean, it's the same questions and answers. Okay. Would you agree with me that InfoSend did not submit that series of answers?
The committee is formed to review the proponents' proposals. So therefore, I don't feel that I can pass it up if they submitted the questions or.
Who would be the person at GPI should speak to confirm whether or not InfoSend submitted that?
The committee.
Anybody members, on the committee in particular?
All committee members. They're all required to review the proposal.
So you have no idea whether or not InfoSend submitted this attachment?
On the procurement side, the administrative side, when we receive the proposals, we just, on the administrative side, we make sure that all the requirements are in the affidavits and reference. That's what it is. That's on the procurement side.
Okay. Can you look to anything in the procurement record where you checked the box or included InfoSend attachment A? I'm telling you they didn't. That's my view, but I'm not supposed to testify.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know if you agree with me or disagree with me that this attachment A is not, InfoSend did not put that in. Would Mr. Borja or Mr. Kim be better to talk to about that?
All the committee members should be able to answer that question.
I want to ask for a stipulation here, just in the interest of moving things along. Would GBA Council stipulate with me that InfoSend does not have that attachment A in the record?
Your Honor, our position is that InfoSend answered the questions in that attachment, and that's what's important. So, no, they didn't attach the form, but neither did Graphic Center. Graphic Center retyped it, and InfoSend typed it in a different way.
I'm just looking for somebody who can testify about that. If it's not Ms. Verheeren, who can testify about InfoSend's answers to these questions?
I think you could probably get it from.
I got it. Thank you.
And at the hearing, I think we went through the same thing, and I won't testify either, but you saw my findings in the decision.
Can you point to any place in the procurement record where there's an explanation that says what Ms. Wolichuk argues, that InfoSend answered these questions in another way? Where in the procurement record is that determination made?
I will not.
Okay. Can you look at page 504 of the record? I'm sorry. I mean, five thirty. Would you agree with me that at the bottom of 530 it says each proponent must complete Exhibit A?
Like what it states, yes.
What does that mean?
Answer the questions that are in that attachment of the amendment. Questions that are listed on that amendment.
And if you don't answer the questions that are listed on that amendment, what? What result?
Again, that's not for me to determine. It will be the committee members.
Well, but didn't you earlier with the moonlight lack of submitting an answer have a discussion with Mr. Botha about their missing information, therefore they should moonlight should be disqualified? Do you remember that communication we looked at earlier?
Yes.
I don't want to cut you off. If you want to say there's something different about that, let me know.
No, on the administrative portion of procurement's responsibility, that's the reason why I was able to, or I corresponded with Mr. Botha.
Do you remember having a correspondence with Mr. Botha about the lack of attachment A from InfoSend?
No.
Did you have one with Mr. Botha?
No.
Okay, so InfoSend doesn't have Exhibit A, and there's no discussion in the procurement record about the lack of Exhibit A with GPA's lawyer. Is that right?
Not that I'm aware.
Did you have any communication that would appear in this procurement record or elsewhere about communication with anybody else at the GPA team about the lack of attachment A from InfoSend?
No.
Okay. Are the answers in attachment A important?
I would believe so. It's part of the package.
Right. It would help GPA analyze the bidders, wouldn't it? Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And evaluate the bids?
Yeah.
Have there been any updates to this procurement record since these 600 some odd pages were removed, 650?
Not that.
Any other communications you've stored as part of this record back at GPA.
Mm.
Any follow-up with InfoSend about being in the last 3 years about their responsible nature to continue to do this work if they win?
No.
You investigate them in the last 3 years at all?
No.
Judge, I've got no other questions for this witness. Perhaps a few on a redirect if need be.
Okay.
Yes, just one moment, please, Your Honor, because I was using in Graphic Center's exhibits from the hearing. Can we do that, or
We show whatever you want to.
okay? I did prepare the exhibits, and I can give them to the witness if that's all right with you.
Please,
These
and also provide copy to.
Oh, I don't have another copy. I can try and correlate this with the
If
one.
there's, I think there are GPA bait stamp numbers at the top right of the record. We could go with that.
It's true. I was using the bait stamp numbers, and I can ask about the bait stamp numbers.
Okay, that's fine. You can present that,
Okay.
either one, using that, but the bait stamp numbers would be good because that's what's going to court.
So the list I have is has the base stamp numbers. Can I give this to the witness? Sir? Thank you.
Let's see which one.
Sure. These are probably interesting examples.
Well, I'm sorry, Your Honor, we're having a difference of language here. It seems like GPA counsel wants to put the exhibits that Mr. Marr had put in the previous proceeding that was base stamped by somebody else that I haven't seen at the top left. I'm talking about the procurement record numbers at the top.
Oh,
Because the only exhibit today is the procurement record.
I got this off the OP's website where they had all the things that were ever filed, and they were date stamped, I assume, by OPA. And
We
if
don't
that
I don't think we have the ability to
Judge.
bait stamp.
It's not really a date stamp, it's like this. It's OPA PR, and then it has a page number. Is that
That's not my number or the OPA's number.
It's on
Who's
the
that?
website.
This one.
It's the appellant. It's the appellant's exhibit.
If those were
Not for this proceeding, Judge.
It was filed for the initial appeal.
I'll allow it. That was
I'm got no I'm not trying to exclude anything. I just want to make sure I can follow along in my binder. So if
Okay,
you could
fine.
do
Yeah,
the best as
there
possible
should
to
be.
take whatever's there and
I will try
correlate
and
it.
do the binder. Sorry, I will try and do the binder because
Okay.
sorry, I wasn't ready for that. I thought we could just use the exhibits we used before, but if not, I will try and
Yeah,
do the
you can.
outline.
I'm saying yes.
Just help me know what we're looking at. That's all I
Okay.
ask.
Thank you, Your Honor. I will hand this to the witness. And I will make an effort to correlate it with the ones that Graphic Center is using. So, the first thing I would like you to do, Ms. Farron, is turn to page 849. This is exhibit one of the Graphic Center submitted, in 2022. So let me try and find where this is in the record. I think we're at 488. No.
Thanks.
Sorry, sorry, it's page 511 of the binder that Graphic Center is using. So this is what responds to the page that I just asked Ms. Farron about, just page 849.
Maybe 49 is 511 of the procurement record.
Oh no, it's a little bit farther. A little farther in. Okay, so it's page 520.
520 of 650.
No, I'm sorry. I'm getting mixed up because there are also page numbers on my version of the I'm getting mixed up. The thing I'm trying to get to is page 14 of the IFB. So in the grand record, which was everything, that was 849. And in the 650 page document, that would be five twenty. 520 of 650 page. Yes. Yes, sir, that's the one I wanted to ask about.
Can someone see whether or not they're both the same thing?
Five verse again. Or
would it be easier to just refer to the RFP and the section numbers on the top? It's the way you'd be the same.
Yes, sir.
You
Okay.
would ask on the page where it says 2.2. I mean 2.12. It's the same thing.
Yes, sir.
Well, yeah, I think that's a helpful identifier. I just the reason I'm asking us to correlate to a procurement record page is just because GPA is defending this procurement based on a procurement record. I want to make sure that we have a reference to
Yeah,
one of the 650 pages.
but you can do it with both.
Yes, Judge.
And it's in here at least six times.
It is.
And so any page that you can find procurement, I mean the RFP, you'd find that page. Go ahead.
Thank you. Ms. Farron, if you could take a look at that section 2.12, what is that?
It states required form.
And what does it say below that?
Wanted to read out to me.
Sure.
All offerors are required to submit current affidavits as required below. Failure to do so will mean disqualification and rejection of the proposal.
Okay, and then you see a list of things. Are those all affidavits?
All but one.
Okay. Does it say anywhere that you have to submit these things exactly as they appear in the IFB?
Yeah. The affidavits are forms, standard forms. So yeah.
If somebody submitted a standard form and typed it out themselves, their own font or whatever, but it had all the same words and things, would that be acceptable?
Yes.
That was the only question I had about the IFB. Next, I would like to ask Ms. Farron about the email where Mr. Botha talked about rejecting Moonlight. So I think this is on page 502. The website? No, sorry, it's not.
This copy I gave you, Marianne,
Oh,
three four
okay.
seven,
Yes, thank you. It is
three forty seven.
page 347 of 650. You've seen this email just a few minutes ago. Is there a reason giving for disqualifying Woodlight?
Yes.
What's the reason?
Thought to meet requirements of the RFP.
In what way?
No entry on the major shareholders affidavit.
The next thing I'd like you to take a look at is this is exhibit 15 in the exhibits from the hearing. Let me see if I can think about where this is on the outside. I believe this is tab 25, so page 279 in the of 600. Right, it's page 280 of 650. You can just please take a look at that, and when you're done looking at it, you can pick up and I'll ask the question. All right, so what is on this page?
This is the letter to Moonlight BPO.
And what is it saying?
It's the letter stating pretty much a bid status letter stating the reason for their rejection.
And what is the reason?
Affidavit of major disclosure made by shareholders is that they do see no estimate of the affidavit aside from the notarized signature.
And as a result, what happens?
Therefore, the submission failed to meet the requirements of the
And because they fail to meet the RFP requirements, what happens?
They did not move forward to the review of their performance.
Hey, I have another question. This is about the proposal. Maybe if we could go over to Oh, this is gonna be hard because I would like to miss there and to compare two different pages. So one of them would be page 506 of 650. And the other one would be page 380 of 650. So if you could please first take a look at page 506 of 650. What does it say there on the left side? In that, what's that column?
All the way to the left.
Yeah, to the left.
Explanation comment.
Oh, are we looking at the same thing?
Page 506
It's
of the procurement record.
506 of 650. To me, it looks like this.
Yes.
Yes. So what does it say there at the very top of this chart looking thing?
It just Has the headers requirement?
Yes. Okay.
Yes, no, partial.
And then, so it says requirement, and then below that, what does it say? What's the next one?
G, special handling. What about that column?
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Special handling.
Special handling, pull bill, and then H, printer, I, finishers, insertion equipment, J, mount, K, paper envelope, L, processing window, M, disaster recovery plan, N, reporting, O, other internet services, and P, other miscellaneous accounts.
Okay, so for G, next to where it says G, there are like some lines. So can you see what those say? What are those?
There's section 3.1, G.1.1, G.2, G.3. Followed by questions.
And what sorts of questions are those?
Can you pull a bill, like G.1, can you pull a bill of production if needed? Could the bill be printed, then returned to GUC? G.1.1, if so, please explain your method for the following pull situations. Pulling bill with a return printed statement, pull a bill with archive only, and pull a bill not to process. G.1, did you want me to read it off?
It's okay.
Okay.
I think we understand. There are some questions here that ask about bill pulling. Now, please take a look at page 380 of 650.
I'm going to make an objection for our record and object to Ms. Fahran offering testimony on this, because the on direct, other than the leading aspect, I know it's cross of what's going on here. During my direct examination, Ms. Fahran said she was unaware of how to solve the equivalency exercise between InfoSend's lack of Form A and InfoSend submission, and directed me to somebody else on the evaluation committee. Now it appears the GBA Council is going to do that exact exercise I wanted to do with Ms. Fahran by leading her through InfoSend's position. If during direct she says, I don't know why we're going to elicit testimony from her about the equivalency.
All right, Public Auditor, I just wanted to make sure that they knew the record was complete. Ms. Fahran is the one who controls the record. If we would rather do this through a different witness, that I can agree. We can agree to that. That's okay.
Please.
Yes, okay.
Again, I'm not stipulating that InfoSend submitted what they needed to submit materially for this, but Ms. Fahran said she didn't know, so we're going to need another witness, just to be clear.
Going to, yes.
I have no more questions from Ms. Fahran. Thank you.
Do you have any follow-up?
I've got nothing
further. Yeah, I can ask.
But you, sir, yes.
When you were asked about page 520 on the required forms, you said all were affidavits except for one. And what was the one?
It's exhibit A.
And what is it? What is this exhibit A?
That was the inclusion for amendment number one of the RFP.
In the RFP, can you go to exhibit A and
the
find an RFP? Maybe we just follow that, because that's the RFP. Go to the end of that and try to find exhibit A.
So amendment one is on page 504 of the RFP. And
in the required forms, it says exhibit A.
Mm-hmm.
Does that say amendment one?
Oh, no. I'm so sorry. Maybe I didn't understand the question.
But it says here exhibit A.
Yes, as part of that's on that list.
There's no, on this required form, there's no amendment one. Is there?
No.
And when the buyers go through and they check, do you have a checklist? Is that should be part of
It's just the special reminders at the front page of the RFP package.
but do you guys have a checklist? I know that some departments have an actual checklist, and you actually have to put a check.
The form that I would think about would be the abstract, the bid abstract.
And is that part of the record?
Yes.
Can you show me an app where that is? What's page number?
I
It's on the
think
top.
page 357.
In this abstract of RFP, can you point to me where it says that Amendment A?
The amendment was issued after the original issuance of the RFP. So on the abstract, we don't have, it's not, there's no amendment one. These are when we first submit, receive the proposals from these interested firms. We do a recording of what we receive.
And that this is, you do this, right?
Yes.
You're the one that puts these check marks here that these are here.
There's a tabulator, yes.
Yes.
Yes. I do. I would review the proposals and go through the
Whose signature is this?
signature is mine.
Okay. And as a result of not finding the major shareholder affidavit, is the reason that you contacted Mr. Bosa?
Yes. The major shareholder's affidavit was present, but it just was not filled
Filled
out.
out.
Yeah.
But on this other forms, and this you use for every single procurement, right? A
Yes.
form like this.
Yes.
But this one doesn't have an affidavit, an amendment. Amendment one, Amendment A,
No.
doesn't.
No.
I have some minimal follow-up, Judge.
Okay.
So, Mr. Heron, I just want to make sure we understand the timeline. But before I do that, the document that the public auditor was asking you to refer to, the abstract evaluation form, this is not a form that the bidders are filling out, right? This checklist. That's
No.
for GPA internal use,
Yeah.
correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And I want to make sure I understand this. When this bid came out, the portion of Amendment One that had Attachment A, that was not part of the original bid that went out. Is that correct?
No, not the exhibit.
Right, not the Exhibit A. It came in later.
Yes.
But even though that Exhibit A comes in later, and we talked about how page 530, if you remember earlier, said each proponent must complete Exhibit A, it's fair to say, though, that that never gets translated to the internal GPA form to add Exhibit A to the checklist. Is that correct?
No.
Right. So if the checklist says no affidavit of shareholders, you'll see a missing box, and you'll tell GPA counsel these people need to be kicked out, correct? But since you didn't put the box on the form, that's why InfoSend makes it through, because there's no box to check against. Is that a fair? I mean, there's no box.
Exhibit A is part of the package requirements from the requesting division. So they were the ones that required that
Who's
for the requesting division
I
to
got
put the
that.
package together.
So, but you're doing a checklist at the end of this when submissions come in. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So if the requesting division adds a requirement, but doesn't tell you to fix the checklist form, your checklist is not matching the requirements when bids come in. Is that correct? I mean, that's a fair assessment, isn't it?
It's not listed on the offer page.
So you're running a checklist. You're running a checklist that predates this particular procurement and doesn't capture the requirements if amendments come around during the procurement. Is that a fair statement?
I'm sorry. Can you ask a question again?
You're using a checklist that exists before this procurement comes out. Is that fair?
No.
Okay. Well, this checklist
is... The checklist comes into play once we close the deadline of receiving the proposal.
I understand. But this is an existing checklist that GPA has that it uses for procurement.
Yes.
Okay. The information on the checklist is carried over from one procurement to the next, right?
Yes.
So if GPA issues a procurement that says we need a $2 bill attached to the bid, you'd agree with me that the checklist doesn't say $2 bill. So if a division says we want a $2 bill, there's no space on your form to add $2 bill. Is that right?
No.
So you're not checking for a $2 bill.
No.
So even though a bid might say on put in Exhibit A, if it doesn't say that here, it could be easily missed by GPA that somebody submitted something or failed to submit one of those additions, because you're only checking what's on the checklist. Is that correct? Is there ever a moment where somebody doesn't submit something like an affidavit and you say, well, you know, it's, let's call them and get the affidavit in later. I mean, they submitted it, but they forgot to sign it or something, or forgot to notarize it. Have we ever, in your experience, has that ever tried to be fixed by GPA?
No.
Even if the bid's like $1 million lower?
No, not your decision.
Not your experience. Yeah. So somebody forgets to notarize an affidavit, done. $1 million, doesn't matter. We just, it's over. Because that failure is material, is important for this procurement.
Yes, it's
right. So not including an amendment or an exhibit might be material as well.
I would like to object. I think these are legal questions that Ms. Barron is not qualified to answer. So if you could just please move on to something else, that would be.
I understand. I mean, I've had that same question with.
I will judge.
Go ahead. I have no. I mean, I've had that question with all the procurements. They have these checklists and they just perform and just do it and they don't look into it.
Ms. Fran, I want to thank you. I'm going to move on because I know we should talk to somebody on the evaluation committee. So I thank you for your time. No further questions, Judge.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I just ask one follow-up, which is about the statement of qualifications on that form?
Mm-hmm.
How do you end up checking that off? Like, what makes you put a check mark there?
There's a letter from the proponent, usually the out of the proposal of the interested parties.
What about the evaluation committee?
Not understanding. Yeah.
Okay.
I will.
Thank you, Lon. I've got no objection, Ms. Fahiran. Unless she's going to be at the bottle later, staying here without having to go down the elevator. That's up ahead.
Yes,
ma'am.
Yes, please. Your next witness.
Can we call Mr. Kim?
Sure.
Yes.
We're off the record at 9:50 a.m.
Are you going to need Ms. Fahiran?
Thomas, can you pause?
Recording you again. The next witness.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor. We'll call Mr. Kim to the stand.
Please raise your right hand. Please state your name.
John Kim.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
You're with us, Mr. Paul.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Mr. Kim. Good morning. I think as you heard earlier, my name is Joshua Walsh. I'm an attorney helping Graphic Center. Thank you for your time. And I sincerely appreciate you showing up without a need for a subpoena. It just keeps things moving. So just a little bit of background. I know you've talked about this before in the previous hearing, but just to help me understand, what is your current position at GPA?
I'm the chief financial officer.
What was your position with GPA at the time this procurement went out and was evaluated?
I was chief financial officer.
You were participating in the evaluation, is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. There was testimony earlier that you would be familiar with the procurement record and the evaluation thought process. Is that a fair testimony? Would you agree with that?
That's a compound question, sir. So if maybe you could break it up, that would be
I'm sorry. Are you familiar with the procurement record?
I'll be familiar with the what was received and reviewed.
Okay. What was received and reviewed? Okay. There are a couple of exhibits I had provided the previous witness that I think are still up there. I'm going to ask you about your familiarity with what was received from Moonlight BPO. Are you familiar with what was received from them?
Let me clarify that. When I said review, was always put onto the paper for us to review for evaluation.
So you didn't even look at Moonlight because they didn't submit an affidavit and were kicked out. Is that correct?
You was not provided to me, so right. I would not have that.
So I imagine if a checklist said you need Exhibit A and InfoSend was not even, was kicked out because of a lack of Exhibit A, InfoSend's proposal would have never even made it to you to evaluate. Is that correct?
I only review what was provided to me.
Okay, but so my question is if you, did you review InfoSend?
No. Okay, yes, I did review
okay. If InfoSend's package was kicked out at the beginning because Ms. Fahran didn't check a box, InfoSend's package would have never made it to you for review. Is that correct?
I only be able to review what's provided to me. The details of work Ms. Fahran did, I wouldn't know.
Okay. Well, she just testified that she didn't check a box about a lack of Exhibit A. You remember that testimony? You were here for it. Okay. So if she, and the inverse, if she said there's no Exhibit A and didn't provide the evaluation committee with InfoSend's package, you would not have reviewed InfoSend. Is that a fair statement?
Can you rephrase that question?
Sure. You said that you only review what you're given, right?
Yes.
Okay. If Ms. Fahran did not give you InfoSend's package, you would not have reviewed InfoSend's package. Is that correct?
Yes.
Right. And her testimony earlier was she looked at a checklist and found no problem with InfoSend's compliance with the checklist. You remember that?
Yes, she said that. Okay. Yes.
But it seems like the only reason there was no problem is because the checklist doesn't say Exhibit A. You remember that testimony?
Yes.
Okay, so if Exhibit A was on the checklist and she says I would find it missing, you would never have gotten the InfoSend package.
Yes. If I'm allowed to elaborate on
sure.
that Exhibit A. That content was to provide information about the capabilities, what functions.
Mm-hmm.
That the proponent did.
Mm-hmm.
When I looked at it, InfoSend did provide the information.
Excellent. Can you show me where in the procurement record you made that determination? Where is your determination in the procurement record that says Exhibit A is the equivalent of this? I'll stand by.
Yes, on my evaluation. For me. What?
You.
Well, I don't know. You just provide me this. I haven't a chance.
That's your best. Where's your evaluation for?
Oh,
in your GPA record, yeah, sure.
Okay, I'll look through it.
Because I'm going to represent to you that there is nothing in the procurement record that suggests that you made an equivalency finding for missing form A. I understand the arguments the GPA can glean it, but But what I don't know where to point to it because I don't think it exists.
Oh, wait. Are you looking for a form?
I'm looking for GPA's explanation that InfoSend fulfilled the requirements of submitting Form A. However you want to show me that in the record.
Do you want me to show you the document that InfoSend provided us?
That you, whatever you're using to make the statement that the lack of submission of Exhibit A was in the procurement record determined to be kosher. Fine, no problem. Because I can't find that. If it helps, I think your attorney was pointing to like around 250 or 246 for InfoSense bid submission.
Your Honor, I think it's actually 360. 360. No, sorry, it's not. Wait. Yes. Yes, sorry, it's 360 of 650. That's InfoSense submission.
May I think it appears several places, but yes.
Three hundred and sixty would have the logo for InfoSend.
Numbers top right, sir.
Yes.
Or can I please give this to the witness? It's tacky stuff, so that it's easier to flip pages.
No objection. Can I see the product after that, though? I'm interested.
Right here.
What is that?
It looks like the...
Oh, it's like the surfboard sex wax.
It's just for flipping pages. Yes. Makes it a little easier.
What we reviewed is on page 374 of 650.
Mm-hmm.
As we provide the response to the scope of work. So right here, it has, we provide information and communications, queries.
So, do you remember the, so your answer is, if I look at page 374, I can find out how Exhibit A is satisfied.
It provides the information that we were looking for.
So my question is, your answer is that 374 is where I look to find out how GPA satisfied Exhibit A.
It provided information of what we request, the information of Exhibit
A. So 374, so the answer is yes. 374 and the related pages there, I'll even give you 375. That's where in the record you, as the evaluation committee, were able to satisfy Exhibit A. Is that your testimony?
Yes.
Okay. Show me where in the procurement record that determination is made, that we are forgiving Exhibit A because we can determine this from 374. Because if you're excusing something, and the reason I'm asking is it seems like there's an excuse for why Exhibit A is missing. Where is that communication or that decision being made? Where on the record is that shown? Is it?
Do I have to? Wait.
If you don't know, you don't know.
Wait. Like, repeat your question.
Got it. Yeah. Where in the procurement record that's before you is GPA's determination that Exhibit A, the lack of Exhibit A from InfoSend, is satisfied by this?
What makes you think there's a lack of Exhibit A information?
I want to know, where's the determination that that's made? Is there one?
Why do you think there's no...
I'm the attorney asking questions in this administrative proceeding. Please answer my question. Where in the record is what you said codified, that 374, 375 works as Exhibit A? Where is that set? Where is that set in the record? Is it set in the record?
Your Honor, I think the witness has answered that the exhibit, that this InfoSend, their submission speaks for itself. Like, I think.
And you're going to need to walk him through that, because okay. That's what was done at the first trial.
Okay. It was done at the first one. Okay.
But that's a different question I have here. My question is there something in this procurement record that the witness can point to that says Exhibit A is not submitted by InfoSend, but no problem, we have 374, 375, 376. Is there anything like that in the procurement record?
I think that his answer was that 374 and the following pages will respond to all the questions on Exhibit A.
Can you please go to there was an exhibit that's up there, you might say, from flipping the 530, page 530. It's a loose page, but.
No, not. Yeah. No, there's a loose page up there. We're given a.
It...
No.
I've got another one. Sweet things.
This one.
Should have put it up under. Would you agree with me that at the bottom of there it says each proponent must complete Exhibit A?
Yes.
It doesn't say complete answers equivalent to Exhibit A? You agree it doesn't say that?
No, you didn't say you have to complete the exactly same format. It just says provide information for Exhibit A.
That's what that says, provide information for Exhibit A?
Complete Exhibit A.
Okay. And your answer is 374, 5, and 6 completes Exhibit A?
Yes.
But you can't point to anything else in the record that says where that determination is made. I understand that you're saying that there's an equivalency there, but is there anything in the record that says we're forgiving Exhibit A because the answer is there?
You don't need to look at her. I think you can say to him, no, we didn't make that finding.
As long as
that at least from my recollection of the first trial, we went through this.
Well, then we're going to put our seatbelts on, Judge. I'll go as fast as I can. I'm sorry, but could we go to page 505? You'd agree with me that Exhibit A contains information material to the assessment of this bid.
Yes, provides insight to the company's capabilities.
I got you. Can you please point to me an InfoSend submission or the answer to A1? How do you receive the bill extract or letter file from us? So on page 505, checklist number A1, question yes, no, partial, with an explanation. Please show me where A1 is.
Okay. Yes, I see it.
Okay. So where is the answer to A1?
I'm sorry?
Where's the answer to A1?
You're meaning to go back to InfoSend?
Mm-hmm. 374.
Right now.
Yes, please. You said 374, 5, and 6 has all the answers we need. Where's the answer to A1?
Mr. Kim, if you decide, just make the decision to stop fighting it and just answer the questions. If you do that, you'll be able to go back to 374 and point it out. So just don't be recalcitrant, just answer. Go and answer it.
Sorry.
If you go to page 374, you'll find the answer.
Oh, okay, got it, sir. Okay, got it.
I think you guys at GPA have decided you're going to fight, but I'm just saying, if you just cooperate, you'll be able to answer each one of the questions.
I mean, I understand they think that, and they think they did that at the last proceeding, Judge. I just don't want to give in on that point. That's what.
No, I understand that, but I'm just telling him it'd be easier if he didn't do what he was prepped to do to stonewall and just go to the page.
Thank you, Judge.
He'd find it.
For the record, not prepped to stonewall.
Yeah.
I think it's just the nature of the question.
It's been 4 years.
I understand. I'm telling you, it was 4 years for me too. But it's easy if you just open your mind to doing it. Now go to page
two. Sorry, Judge. Before I go down this exercise of each one of these, I want to ask you a question. Wouldn't you agree that if there was a checklist that InfoSense submitted, you'd be able to easily point to me where A1 is?
Yes.
And A2? And A3?
Yes.
Wouldn't you agree with me that the Exhibit A makes a very clear apples-to-apples comparison possible if people are submitting the same form? Would you agree with that?
I agree with that. Don't forget, we also... Graphics Center didn't answer all the questions either. They left it back.
Right. Thank you for that. So I guess if nobody answered the questions correctly, then you'd have no bidders because Moonlight got kicked out, InfoSend got kicked out, and you kick out Graphics Center because they didn't answer questions. Is that what you're saying?
No, the exhibit way you guys referring to provides insight to the companies what they're doing, so we can make when we have the percentage of evaluation, then we could determine what points to give.
But if one person's submitting a form, if GPA says answer with this form, but only one of the bidders submits the form, how are you comparing bids? You're comparing bids by reviewing narrative, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so one person submits a form, and you're going to go glean the answers from the narrative submitted by the other bidder, correct?
Yes, so when we were reviewing this, we're looking at the responses, reviewed all the information, okay, that gives insight to what the proponent's capabilities are and what they have. This exhibit is a, or provides, this the questions we have, mm-hmm. What your capabilities. So, yes, exhibit A, with this tablet is easier to review. When we looked at it, we saw the explanation, if there's no blank, if it's blank, then they didn't answer the questions.
Mm-hmm.
So, we also reviewed InfoSend, we looked through it, we through all the things Jim provided, mm-hmm. And we say, hey, they have this, they don't have this, or...
But you're reviewing a form provided by Graphic Center compared to no form but narrative provided by InfoSend, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So a blank on a form by Graphic Center, you remember because there's a blank on a form. You just testified you remember some blanks, right?
Yeah.
You'd agree with me that, therefore, there's nothing but blanks on the form from InfoSend because there's no form, right? There's no form from them, so it's all blank, correct?
They provide
right. So you're left with having to look to narrative. Is that correct?
Yes.
Did you look to narrative to fill in the blanks for Graphic Center?
They do provide comments.
So again, you're relying on the form for Graphic Center even though there's no form as required for InfoSend, you're going to be okay with narrative. That's the testimony. I'm just trying to get your testimony. Yes. Yes.
You're saying that graphic sender didn't put in any narrative?
No, I'm asking you. You're the one that said that graphic sender is missing parts of its form. Right?
Yes.
I'm asking you, did you look to graphic sender's narrative to fill in those blanks of what's missing?
Yes, we did. Because one particular one that we were focusing on was disaster recovery. We looked at the form and what's left blank. So we also look at the content and the narrative of graphic center if they have any disaster recovery. I don't remember recall anyone.
You're talking about on the form, it would have been M1, M1.1, and 1M.2.
Yes.
Okay.
Let me see.
And just since, let's use that one because it seems like an easy thing that's at the front of your line. So this is on 506 of the record, disaster recovery plan, M1, M1.1, and M1.2. And you're saying that's missing from Graphic Center. And even though InfoSend didn't submit the form, you can find that from InfoSend's proposal 374. Can you just show me where that is in their proposal that you looked at?
For InfoSend.
Yes, please. Just to help you out, I think if you look at 387, you'll see what the exercise was doing.
387.
I think that's where your answer to me is going to come from. And you just move things up from here.
Yes, risk mitigation. And disaster discovery, number M. So they wrote it M, and it's related to the section M of the checklist, schedule M, A, whatever schedule that is.
Right. So you did this exercise for each one of the aspects of this form.
We did review the contents.
Okay. So I'm trying to get one transcript solved here and satisfy myself on the answers. And I know you've done this before, or it's said that you've been doing this before. So what we just did with M, right? No tricks, just asking you to make the equivalency. I want you to do with A1. Like, because I understand that A1, there's a section called communication called A in InfoSend submission. I just want you to show me where A1 and A2's answers are.
Don't require me to review the whole thing. Is that okay?
Actually, let me ask, maybe I can fast forward it. I'm not clear that this exercise that I want to go through right now this morning, but I really don't want to try everybody's patience in doing it.
Please do, because
okay.
I take offense to the fact that the trial court found that I was arbitrary and capricious. Okay? And though the two of you weren't involved in the first hearing, I was able to follow the testimony at the time. And if you go to 505, so the trial court, and you'll know it when I say it on the record. If you go to the form, it's so tiny you can barely see it, and the explanation line would not be able to get anything out. The risk mitigation that you talked about earlier on M would not have fit in that 2-inch line. And A and B is here on, under file submission where the clients are, can upload. There was nothing arbitrary and capricious of my decision. It was here in everything, and they proved it to me the first time, walking me through it. The fact that the trial court didn't go through it is not my problem. And you can take this transcript up to them so that they know.
Well, I think the next step for GPA would have been to have taken it up to the Superior Court, past Supreme Court, Your Honor, if they thought there was an error of the trial court's decision, not back down to the administrative agency to
but it was to decide. It was the court that remanded it. And just to tell the court that there was nothing arbitrary and capricious in my decision, because I went through it and there were almost all the letters were followed. You can follow with this through their submission. But you're presenting it. I'm just saying I'm going to also ask and answer questions to prove to the trial court that my decision was not arbitrary and capricious.
But Your Honor, one of the nuances of what I'm trying to explore with Mr. Kim, and I know you're not cutting me off, Judge, I appreciate that. And if I narrow my questions, I'm doing it myself, I'll make that clear. You're not doing that to me, Judge, I appreciate that. But one of the nuances of what I'm trying to discover is, or discuss with Mr. Kim is, there was a form that was submitted that the public auditor yourself just said right now seems like an odd form where there's not enough space to answer questions. And the example that I just used, the damages plan, there wasn't enough space to explain. The evaluator has just testified that that was a knock on Graphic Center because there wasn't space, but that he's okay with InfoSend because they broke the frame of this procurement. And rather than submit a form that everybody else was told was mandatory, stopped putting that form in and wrote a narrative, and the evaluation committee took extra steps. They said they're going to take extra steps in a way they don't do for the affidavit missingness, to say we're going to glean the answers. There's not a form here, we're going to glean the answers. An analysis that...
I think this is not accurate. Graphic Center recreated the form and they had as much space as they wanted to. They could have filled out the comment section as much as they wanted to because they weren't using this piece of paper.
We're getting into the argument.
Just a form says explanation and you can't fit it in there, you'd have to have narrative.
And they did have room for that because they recreated the form. I guess in a word processing document. And also this
you can present that when you get to it. I'm just saying I wanted to point out and help it along that to show the trial court that even in my advanced age, I can still read and see, and that I was able to follow it through. Well, there was nothing arbitrary and capricious.
But Your Honor, but we're an administrative proceeding judge, and I am conscious of time, though you're not putting the time.
No, I'm not putting the time limit. If you want to know, I actually was going to quash the subpoena and allow for the witness, but just to show that the record was complete. But, and I'm showing that the record was complete because I can read. I don't know if they did up when it went up to the court.
But Judge, so I'm speaking, it seems like the public auditor's office is prepared to defend its prior decision and say, with more language of the Superior Court, if I may, to tell the Superior Court, there's nothing wrong with The InfoSend lack of an Exhibit A because the equivalent information is in the procurement record and it satisfied the evaluators. And obviously, we are aware of the law about some deference to these evaluators because they're subject matter experts. Mr. Kim knows more about printing than I do. That's what it appears to me that the public auditor is prepared to do. Because of that, Judge, I don't want to belabor the point and go through the exercise that Mr. Marr went for before, because what my ultimate argument in this matter, Your Honor, and maybe this is going to be saved for our findings of fact and conclusions of law and proposals that we submit to you, Judge, is that all of this exercise of testimony explaining the link is not in the procurement record. And that in order to support the award to InfoSend as a matter of law, that needed to be in the procurement record, not offered as testimony by Mr. Kim either in a proceeding between Mr. Botha and Mr. Marr months later or in 2025 now.
But it was understood that it was there.
There is nothing in the procurement record, Judge, that says that.
It's here in the procurement record. This is the procurement record.
Yes, Your Honor, but
we don't have the transcript of their discussion in the meeting. And I'm just saying,
so let me ask that
when
question.
When it was presented to me, I was able to process. I don't know whether the trial court couldn't do it or you guys couldn't present it to them, but I was able to process that and could see that it was there. I said it in my decision.
Well, Your Honor, but our review of our read of the law, Judge, is that it is not an appropriate procurement record to support an award if you need to look, if you are doing things to deviate from the requirements of the IFB. So if, for instance, the IFB says there needs to be an Exhibit A to the Amendment 1, and that is not submitted, and there's going to be a forgiveness of that because the agency evaluators are going to evaluate anyways based on other material that they have, then there needs to be some finding that links that up. That there needs to be a decision. Somebody need to have said that. And the two witnesses I've presented so far don't seem to have that. They're able to do an equivalency examination, the same examination Your Honor did on your own previously during the testimony. But what I'm trying to find out and what I point out to the Superior Court, this record doesn't show why that link is being made. There's a reason why we kicked out Moonlight, but there's no reason why the forgiveness of Exhibit A, because you can glean it from the rest of that, is there. And I don't want to waste time, Judge, about the gleaning part, because it seems like the OPA is satisfied on that, and it seems like Rapid Center is going to lose on that portion. If I'm simply just trying to say, you can't glean from this the points of Exhibit A. But what I'm pointing out to the procurement record is missing that, and unless Mr. Kim can show me that there is a discussion, there's some finding that says the lack of Exhibit A, which is material, is going to be satisfied with looking at the record, because that conversation did not exist for Moonlight.
Yeah, but the thing was what I was trying to point out when I showed the checklist,
yeah,
was that unfortunately the departments, and that's why I wanted everybody to take procurement classes, is you should be able to do more than just a checklist. Unfortunately, just go through on the checklist and then people get excluded. But the thing is that you've got to use more. I mean, you can't just check mark. You've got to have a brain to be able to stop and say, there's only two shareholders. They are, 50-50, whatever. But not to...
But in this procurement,
And proof that whether or not there was an exemption. There was no exemption. It was just they were able to go and show it. And at least that was the way that it was presented to me in the first trial, and for which I sent it up.
And I think, yes, Your Honor. So I do think there's some argument that Ms. Wolacek and I would probably want to present to you, Judge, before you make a final decision here. If I could, I understand you're not cutting me off. I'm not putting a rec. I'm making clear for the record that I'm being given every opportunity to keep Mr. Kim here and walk through that exercise before.
Please.
But maybe what I could just do is, Mr. Kim, you stand upon your prior testimony, and it's your testimony today that every answer and every box from A1 through D4 can be found and explained, or has been found and explained previously in your testimony from InfoSense proposal at 374-56, or InfoSense proposal.
Sir, that was not Mr. Kim's testimony in 2022. He said all or almost all, and we have a transcript of that.
That's fine.
Okay.
Okay. Is that you stand on that today as well?
Yes.
And to the best of your knowledge, there is nothing else in this record that shows why GPA decided to not make a big deal or not have an issue about the lack of an exhibit A from let me rephrase that, I'm sorry. Is there anything else in this record you want me to look at or that you stand upon to show that GPA made a conscious decision and said, even though there's no exhibit A, use the narrative? Anything like that? I understand that's what you did, but is there something in the record that says that's what you're doing?
No.
Is there anything in the record that says, that recognizes that exhibit A is missing, but that it's not a problem for InfoSend because we're moving forward on having evaluators review the narrative?
How do I explain this? When I looked at these questions and answers, I did not feel that exhibit A is a missing form. To me, it was the same thing.
Were you able to tell from InfoSend submission who owns InfoSend?
Can I agree? Nothing in the affidavit of ownership.
So in that situation, that's the answer I'm looking for. They've got an affidavit. They have an affidavit. There's moonlight in that. In a situation where if the bid does not ask for a narrative about ownership, you're relying on administrative staff and an affidavit of ownership to keep moving that bid along. Is that a fair statement?
Okay, can you repeat that?
Sure.
Thing?
Never mind, it's okay. We already testified that you're only reviewing things that you're given by the admin side after they go through their checklist. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. So if there's something missing, if the admin lets it go through, you review it. If they hold it because there's something missing, you're never going to review it. All right, maybe you might. Give me when you're pausing, so it makes me think that sometimes you might.
I think I answered this earlier. Whatever document they gave me for review, I reviewed those.
You don't on your own go through and check the affidavits, do you?
It's not something, whatever is on my table, if there's affidavits there, I will look at the affidavit.
But you don't, as a member of the evaluation team, you don't check each of the affidavits.
Yeah, I don't check if it's contents. Just more like, look, if there's an affidavit, I'll look at it. See who the owners are, if there's any conflicts, right? That's about it.
But as an evaluator, the proposal is the most important thing for you to review. Is that
yes?
Correct?
Yes.
You've done any more review of InfoSend at all since this procurement record was completed? Filed them at all? Reviewed them at all?
No.
And I think I did ask this. Let's just make sure though. The information being sought from Form A, right? That information is material for the procurement. I understand that your testimony is you're able to find that information from the narrative. I'm not trying to trip you up on that. I just want to know that information that's sought in Exhibit A, that's all of that information is material for your evaluation.
Yes, it helps us evaluate the capabilities of the proponents. Yes.
Would this procurement have been better without the Form A at all? Just have proposers send a bunch of questions, or would it have been a better procurement?
Exhibit A was, let's say, because this is why I'm going to answer what I remember. Like the question about disaster recovery, that's something that the IT requested it. So that was entered into Exhibit A. It helped us understand the capabilities of the proponents. And
so Exhibit A was helpful?
It was helpful to evaluate.
But you did the evaluation without Exhibit A for InfoSend because you used the narrative.
The Exhibit A put a list of things we'd like to know more about the company's capabilities. That was addressed in InfoSend.
Okay. Judge, I'll pass the witness as long as I get one more chance just to take maybe a break before I dismiss the witness to consult with my client.
Yes.
Thank you, Your Honor. So I'll pass the witness. Thank you.
Your witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. So, Mr. Tam, did you read the entire proposals that were submitted?
Yes, for InfoSend and Breakfast Centers. Yes, we did look at the package they provided.
Are you familiar with the scope of work for this RFP?
Yes.
Does the scope of work have anything to do with Exhibit A? Maybe we take a look at
that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So Exhibit A is page 505 of 650. And the IMP is So if you look at page 528 of 650.
Yes.
That's the scope of work?
Yes, yes, scope of work.
And then how many pages does that go on for?
Until 530.
Do you see any correspondence between the scope of work and Exhibit A?
Yes, they're very similar.
So if somebody answers everything in the scope of work, will they have answered most everything in Exhibit A?
Yes.
And did you notice whether Graphics Center responded to the scope of work in the narrative or through Exhibit A?
I have to go back to the file, but
I cannot remember where that is. Let's see. InfoSend. The Graphic Center's proposal, I believe it's on page 384 of 650.
really
Okay, so it's not that that's not the right page. It's right center.
Orbit.
Yes. Sorry, I have this in I have like the exhibits from the
one. They gave me the other one. If you want to use that.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Hernandez gave me a copy of the one.
So, Mr. Pam, we're looking at this binder that looks like this. These are graphic centered exhibits from the previous hearing that you were used. You were testifying on, and. Have you got it? It's a small bind. Yes, there you go. The graphic center's response is at tab six, exhibit six.
Yes.
And you reviewed this, correct?
Yeah, that is correct.
So you can see. Can you see exhibit A in there?
Yes. Yeah, let's do the six feeling.
And you can see that they did this form themselves and they can put as much in there as they like.
Yes.
What did they put for G?
Nothing.
What did they put for M?
Nothing.
And what was M again?
M is the disaster recovery plan.
What is G?
Special handling pool bill.
And did they respond to this anywhere else in their proposal?
I know they didn't respond for the disaster recovery for special handling as to review it. See if that answered or not. Most likely, I assume it's not within that defined.
Right. You know, their proposal is not very long. Maybe you could flip through the pages and see if you can find their answer for G bill poll.
No, they do not answer the questions.
Let's take a look now at InfoSend's response. InfoSend's response is exhibit four, so that's tab four. When you look at page 923, the numbers are at the top, 923. So can you tell this is InfoSend's proposal? If you look at the bottom, what name is there?
InfoSend.
And what else does it say at the bottom?
Response to RFP for the Long Haul Authority.
Okay. So on this page that we're looking at, 923, see the letter D?
Yes, I do.
So if you could compare that with what's on page 506, which is exhibit A, the letter G.
Yes.
So exhibit A, letter G, has some questions. Are those questions answered here in InfoSend's proposal?
Yes.
How can you tell?
This is the same format in response.
Now, go to page 930 at the top. What is there on that page?
I had a 30.
Up at the top, it says OPA-PR-130.
Yes, I'm looking at it.
And what do you see there in the middle of the page?
M, disaster recovery plan.
And so how long does this go on for? With the answer to M.
Well, up from up to the following page, 931.
You sure about that?
932, networking. Yes, 932.
And then?
933. 933.
933, okay. So one, two, how many pages is on?
One, two, three, almost four pages.
And just do these four pages, do you remember, do they answer the questions that are on page 506 under M?
Yes.
Is it more important to have the questions answered like this in boxes, or is it more important to have them answered completely and fully in paragraphs like this?
From a reviewer point of view, answering the way all the details is more helpful.
When you compared the two, because you had to look at InfoSend and Graphic Center, were you able to evaluate both of them?
Yes, we were able to evaluate both of them.
And were you able to compare them?
Yes.
And were you able to score them?
Yes.
And do you remember what the scores ended up being?
My understanding is that score for InfoSend was higher than Graphic Center.
You know, in the IFB, under the requirements, which is section 2.12, I think you may have seen it earlier, one of the required forms was Exhibit A. When you added that, did you add that to the RFP?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So when you added that, what was your reason for doing so?
Give the insight into the company's capabilities.
So what you really wanted to know was the company's capabilities?
Yes, what they can do. It's more of what we wanted. So example for that comes to my mind is disaster recovery. During COVID, we had some issues. So we wanted to know more about what they can do, or what kind of mitigation plan do they have.
Okay, so the answers to the questions are more important than the form in which they're given?
Yes.
You know, it's been said that GPA gave InfoSend an exemption from submitting Exhibit A. Would you consider that accurate?
When people say exemption, from my way of understanding it, is that it's like they didn't provide the information. From my point of view, is that they provided the information that we wanted to review, and it's the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, given that that's your answer, do you think InfoSend got an exemption from submitting Exhibit A?
No.
Did anyone get an exemption from submitting Exhibit A?
No. Only got two to review, so.
Did all the bidders make an effort to respond to Exhibit A's questions?
Yes.
Thank you, Your Honor. I don't have that. I don't have anything for that.
Thank you. Right. I mean, read that.
Minimal, Judge. Thank you. Kim, who wrote that scope of work that Ms. Woloschuk was taking you through?
I did.
Okay. Who wrote Exhibit A?
Actually, I took that from a website. Then whoever done the previously, and I copied it to match to help us answer the questions.
Help us answer the questions.
I mean, answer the questions we would like to have.
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
So help us understand the company.
Help the evaluators understand the company.
Okay.
So you wrote Exhibit A, you wanted bidders to answer.
Yes.
Okay. The testimony to Ms. Woloschuk, though, was a few moments ago that the narrative was more important than Exhibit A.
Yes.
Is that explained to bidders in the bid package?
Sir, I believe I asked if it was more helpful, not more important.
Okay, is something helpful? Was it more helpful to you? Is the narrative more helpful than Exhibit A? That's what you testified, yes.
Let me see. How can I explain this?
Truth. Whatever the answer is the answer.
So if you look at Exhibit A, there's comment section, right?
Right.
It could put the narrative. The narratives also help us evaluate. Yes.
So there could be narratives in those boxes. You agree with public auditor, though, those boxes are kind of tiny.
Yes.
So the bidders are supposed to write something beyond that little box, right? Attach pages. Mean, you're expecting that, wouldn't you? But I mean, you're not expecting narratives to be written in those little boxes, or were you?
Just answer the question.
No, just yes, you'll be hard to write all the comp if you're gonna copy the stuff and write filling it, yes, it'll be difficult to add comments to it.
Right. So you've got no problem with the fact that graphic centers have retyped it so they could fit narrative into their Exhibit A, right? That's not an issue for you.
No, it's not an issue. Yeah.
And you talked about finding capability. I mean, you've got no issues with Graphic Center's capability, do you? And they're capable to do this. They're doing it now.
Yes.
And just to be clear, you still wanted. Actually, I am. Exhibit A is helpful, not more important, I guess. It's helpful to the evaluation. You wanted bidders to provide Exhibit A. But your answer is InfoSend's narrative was good enough for you.
When I'm reviewing this, it looks like it's that. Are you asking for, are you guys arguing about the form or the content of the form?
Yeah, I'm actually asking about the form itself. I want to know, do you think that form was important? The form, or a cut and paste version of the form, like that looks like the form with the answers? That is the form important?
For me, it's evaluate as the content of the form. Yes. Like I'm not the actual form itself.
We were talking about scores earlier. What scores did Moonlight get from the evaluation committee?
Moonlight was not brought to my table to review.
Right. And then you never got a chance to review them because they didn't submit a form. Right? That's the testimony you heard earlier?
If they didn't provide affidavit, they provided the affidavit, but they did not fill in the content of that affidavit.
So that form is dispositive to this procurement in your mind, but Form A is not.
I believe the affidavit was they had no content on it after they got disqualified.
Who wrote the requirement on page 530 that each proponent must complete Exhibit A? I mean, that phraseology, that each proponent must complete Exhibit A. Who wrote that language? Was that you as well?
I don't recall that one, actually.
Okay, so you wrote the form, but not necessarily the line for GPA that says must submit them.
Yeah, I don't recall that one.
Do you remember anybody getting any affidavits for not submitting the, any exemptions for not submitting the affidavit of shareholders? You're unaware of anything like that, right?
No, wait, can you recall?
Are you aware of anybody getting a exemption for failing to submit the affidavit of ownership?
No, I'm not.
Are you familiar with any other exemptions, any exemptions at all for this procurement for any bidders in the forms they've submitted?
No, not
right. Really. Judge, before I close this witness, may I maybe take a 5-minute break just so I can talk to my clients and maybe actually Ms. Wolchek too for them?
Sure. We're off the record at 10:56 a.m. We're back on the record at 11:05 a.m.
Good afternoon, Mr. Public Auditor. Thank you for the break. We previously had Mr. Kim on the stand, but the appellant is done with them, and I understand from GPA that they've got no further questions for him. With that, Your Honor, we are agreeable to end our case trial presentation now with the understanding that there's been some references and transcripts and some earlier proceedings. And then GPA counsel and I have a joint request to the public auditor to forego closing arguments and allow us to submit findings of fact and conclusions of law for your consideration in about 30 days or so, and then proceed from there, Judge.
GPA, you have any problems?
None, Your Honor. No objection to that.
And just so the record is clear, though you didn't argue it, you presented the motion to quash. There was a motion to quash. I had made the decision by signing the subpoena that I was not going to quash.
Yes, sir.
And was going to allow, I had written off this whole day to have a presentation because I wanted the court to know that upon remand, I tried everything in my power to investigate further a missing exemption and make it clear to the court that there was nothing arbitrary and capricious of my decision, that it was form over substance, that all the answers to Exhibit A were in the response, and was the basis of my decision.
Well, we appreciate the opportunity to address those positions and the proposed findings of fact and conclusions.
Please.
I just moved to quash because I wanted my objection on the record. I know by signing it, you probably weren't going to grant it anyway.
And just to be extra clear on that, I mean, I'm not pushing the issue, not because I think that I wasn't going to be able to have the testimony. It's just based on the testimony of Mr. Kidd, it seems like he's the most knowledgeable person about that evaluation process, and that any other testimony from anybody else from GPA wouldn't deviate from GPA's position that Form A information could be gleaned from the answers.
And I just wanted to make it clear to the court that I was not going to prevent any witnesses being called. I was going to allow the investigation to go forward. However, to underscore to the court that there was nothing arbitrary and capricious in my earlier decision, and that it was founded on the presentations. So do whatever you can in the findings of fact, and if necessary, I'll add to it. But I thank you both for tolerating me today.
Thank you, sir.
And
yes,
so we're adjourned.
We're off the record at 11:09 a.m. Thank you.
So are we proud? What is 30 days from now?
July.
Would that be
judicial order during
that? July 6th, which is a Sunday.
No.
July
10th.
Thank you, Judge.
July 10th. Thank you, Sean.
This was great.
You can stop recording now, Thomas.
Thank you.